Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys, and welcome to the Steel Wars Live call-in show. I am comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love that Star Wars. And for the next 90 minutes or so, we will be taking your calls or Skypes on whatever you want to talk about in that Star Wars universe. We just celebrated May the 4th, and if you've got a fun May the 4th memory or would like to share how you celebrated May the 4th, well, then we'd like to hear about that as well. We really would. What's going on in Steel Wars this week? As usual, it's hashtag content, you guys. As a special May the 4th bonus, I re-uploaded my inverted commas classic interview with film critic legend Leonard Maltin. So that'll be up for a week for you guys to enjoy. And on the Patreon side, we just put up a long-awaited return of the Gonk Droid, my friend Tony Medina, on our special Patreon-only show, Gonk and Steel's Trash Compactor, which goes for about 80 minutes. So your iPhone or Android or phone that might explode if you take it on a plane, so why have you still got it? That'll be filled with content. That'd be sad if your Galaxy phone did explode and there was unlistened content onto it. The humanity. But to bring us back and brighten the mood, we have got a special guest co-host all the way from New York City, the Coruscant of our fine planet. She's dubbed with the auspicious title of being my first international listener, and more recently, she has been looked at by authorities for her work in writing the Director Krennic erotic fan fiction. Welcome back to Steel Wars, my buddy Emily Lind. How are you doing, Emily?
I'm good. How are you doing, Steel?
I am well. Now, for those that are catching up, we did a big podcast mashup at Star Wars Celebration late one night. All the podcasts in the Making Star Wars Network got together for a huge party podcast, which was the best time ever. And we closed it out with some erotic fan fiction, which we'd done before. We did it at the LA Podcast Festival with some found erotic fan fiction about Qui-Gon Jinn and Shmi Skywalker. We dug that one out, and I did some sound effects, and Randy and Jason from Making Star Wars were in there, and Maud Garrett from Geek Bomb. And then we needed another one for this event, and Emily Lind used her steamy fandom of Ben Mendelsohn and that white cape of Director Krennic to come up with quite a... I was fanning myself throughout, Emily. My question to you is, What is wrong with you and are you seeking help?
You know, I feel like that's an unfair question from the man who wanted me to write fanfic for him.
I'm just an enabler.
You know, I didn't listen to it until today because I've been honestly too embarrassed. Like, I've gone to try to listen to it and I get basically to the title and then I can't deal with it and I feel like I'm going to crawl out of my skin and I turned it off.
Oh, okay, my hint for you to do that is put headphones in the subway. Use the headphones.
No, I listen
don't
to
just,
it.
Don't just, play it off your boombox.
No, but I got through it today because I knew I was doing the call-in show tonight, and I wanted to have said that I listened to it. There's some of it that I had like completely forgotten about because I, you know, I wrote it in a couple of hours, and then just didn't go back to it because it's really I can't go back and read my own writing anyway. But hearing it and hearing Jason Ward's Australian ? Accent was pretty phenomenal.
The racism was strong in that one. Or I don't know if Australians should be offended or pirates or what, but that was quite a weird accent for Mendo there, our good friend Ben Mendelsohn. Darren Leuchner in the chat said he put headphones in for this one to protect his family. So he's getting all Liam Neeson about it.
But no, it was fun to listen to because I was so worried about it, because when you're writing something intentionally bad, there's something really strange about that and you don't quite know how it's going to be taken. So it was fun to hear like what got a response from the audience. Like one thing, it's my favorite line that I wrote, and it's not a dirty one. It's something to the effect of she was arching her back like a loft cat, which I just thought was going to be like just for me. Like I just was amusing myself, but it got a really strong response, and a couple of people actually wrote me to say that they liked that line in particular, and that made me really happy.
Well, that is one of the sweetest Star Wars references of all time. And how did you, do any celebrating of May the 4th be with you?
Well, I bought some itty bitties.
Ooh, what ones?
I got the X-Wing Luke because it's maybe the cutest thing I've ever seen. I got C-3PO with the red arm.
Sweet. We're going to get very similar mail in the next week.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to the Gonk Droid up today. And you got the other two exclusives, right?
So oh, yeah. I get everything. I'm an itty-bitty completist. I love it. I got that. Yeah, I got the Sabine. I got the Ahsoka, and I'm very excited. I want to know how much can... So the Luke X-Wing, this is the Hallmark itty-bitties to you guys, the little teddy bears, the cutest things ever. And for May the 4th, they had an exclusive one that came with a little cardboard X-Wing. I'm wondering how much construction, how much assembly is required with this X-Wing. How many hours of preparation it will take me to set up?
I mean, it doesn't say some assembly required.
So no assembly required?
I hope so, because otherwise my X-Wing Luke is not going to be looking too good.
You've got to paint it up yourself, cut it out. It's brutal.
It's going to be lopsided and like have tears in it.
Well, we will take your calls if you have any May the 4th memories to share, or if you just have a topic or question you want to get into. But even though we had May the 4th, a pretty light on Star Wars news week. I guess, you know, we just had one of the biggest news weeks with Celebration, all that stuff. So things, it's good to have a bit of a simmer. I'm just browsing the StarWarsUnderworld.com here, and they've got Funko unveils new Rogue One pops. Are you much of a pop person?
I have a few. I actually have a lot because I just sort of buy them randomly when I see ones that I think are cute, which is often. Mm-hmm. So I've sort of amassed a lot of them.
Okay. I'm not really a fan of them. I like that they're there. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
they don't do much for me. But I appreciate they're there. And my favorite thing about them, or the thing that interests me the most, is I just want to meet the guy that invented them. And find out how he came to it. Because on paper, not much of an idea. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's just make figures. Like, because it's all like, you know, like if you go to the Hasbro panels and stuff, it's all about we want articulation and we want lifelike facials. And then let's just do these giant-headed things and let's license it out to every pop culture entity known to man. And let's just start counting some money.
Well, that's what they did with So Smart, is just licensing everything. Like, things that you don't get any other sort of collectible for. So if you have a thing that you like, probably they make pops for it.
Yeah. And,
I'm not going to see any other, like, Westworld action figures out there, but they have pops. I'm like, oh, I like Westworld, so I'll get one or two of these.
Westworld action figures would be interesting, because they could do some pretty sweet all-naked San Diego Comic-Con variants. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's a great idea. You should definitely pitch that.
I think I've pitched enough action figure ideas this week after Gronkin's deals. So let's not talk about that in the open. Let's not talk about that. That's our little secret. That's our little secret. But one of the figures, one of the pops that one of the sweetest things I've ever seen, and it hasn't won me over to get a pop, but I do admire it, is the Young Jin Erso. Have you seen this one?
It has like the little like pigtails, right?
She's got two little pigtails and she's holding her little stormtrooper toy.
Oh, I didn't see that she was holding the toy, because I just sort of glanced at the pictures today. I didn't actually take a look at it. Oh man, I'm going to look that up right now.
That's why people come to me for content, because I look at little girl doll figures' hands to see what they're holding, you know?
Uh-huh.
Others in New York City, too much time, you know, too much things going on. You're listening to porn on the subway. Not me.
I'm listening to porn at work, but...
But yeah, the little figure, which...
Oh, it's so
makes
cute.
Makes me think, you know how there's the photo? It's not in the actual movie, is it? Where the Stormtrooper picks up... The Death Trooper picks up the Stormtrooper. Is that in the film?
It's just a photo,
yeah.
I thought that
chat
was in the
room. Is that in the room? Okay, Colleen says it is in the film. Who can say in this day and age? But now that she's holding it and the Death Trooper's holding it, do you think the Death Trooper was just like, clean up your toys?
I mean, it is a weird toy.
It is a weird toy.
It's something I kind of am always interested in when we see these little glimpses of things in Star Wars, of like the sort of domestic, just regular life.
Hmm.
And there's got to be like somebody making these toys.
Yeah. It makes me think of seeing toys of toys in the Star Wars universe. It reminds me, there's one of the Avengers films. Or maybe it was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but they had Avengers toys in the show, do you know what I mean? Because the Avengers were famous, so people were making toys. And so this is like a little Star Wars version of it. But, yeah, clean up your toys, Young Jin Erso. You're leaving Stormtroopers on the farm. Death Troopers are standing on them. They're hurting their feet. Do you know what I mean? They can't be worried about the soles of their feet when they're out Death Trooping. Talking in their gobbledygook. Like, one of them would say, watch out for that toy, it looks pointy, and the other guy's like, I can't understand what you're saying, it's all brrr. Like, no good. Come on, Jin Erso, pick up your game and your toys.
You seem to be assuming that they have very low quality boots.
I thought they were barefooted. You don't get many shots of their feet.
Yeah, not enough shots of feet in Star Wars to really analyze that.
God, we're sounding like a real fetish show at the moment. It's no good. One news item that did delight me was Mark Hamill surprising Adam Scott on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Part of that was we had a very cool guest host on Jimmy Kimmel Live. We had Kristen Bell, who I'm a big fan of. She was in Fanboys and just seems like a cool person. But yeah, Adam Scott had written a... have you seen this, Emily?
I watched it this afternoon.
Yeah. As a young boy, invited Mark Hamill to his birthday party, and he didn't show, bit of a bummer, but he comes out of a door, igniting the green, which a lot of people, Luke Skywalker turning his green lightsaber, that's all I want out of Star Wars, we've covered this many times. A lot of people have said, there you go, you got it, he ignited the green. That does not count, you Twitter trolls, and you know it. But he comes out to surprise Adam Scott. Adam Scott is trembling. Just throwing out F-bombs that are censored all throughout the segment. And I just have to say, correct reaction, Adam Scott. Correct reaction.
Oh, yeah, he looks like he's about to burst into tears. Like, he's barely keeping it together. And I've already, like, I love Adam Scott. It made me love him so much more.
Like, yeah,
seeing people fanboy out over, like, seeing famous people fanboy out over other famous people always makes me happy.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? I kind of, you'll want to see that they're just like us, which is why I instantly went with Rey, because she was as amped about Luke Skywalker as I was. I was like, yeah, she's just like me, because I'm perfect in every way as well. So there you go. No rebuttal on that one. Thank you, Emily. And the other bit of Star Wars news, which has sort of been floating around for a little bit, I think, was Rian Johnson. He revealed that he asked J.J. Abrams to swap out the droids at the end of The Force Awakens so that Chewbacca and Rey would take R2-D2 rather than BB-8 to Uktu to see Luke Skywalker. And there can be only one reason for that, don't you think, Emily?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You have a guess of what that reason is.
Is R2 in possession of something he's going to give back to Luke?
Ah, yeah. And then we can all cry and tremble with Adam Scott. It's going to be great. It's gonna be the best. All right, you guys, we are going to take some calls. For those listening on delay, the first 45 or so minutes will be on the iTunes feed, and then we'll save the second half, 45 minutes, for the Patreon Content Club members, which you can join for $3 a month, and you get a lot of bonus content. Trust me on that. And you can look for that at patreon.com/steelwars. But if you are listening live, you get the full 90 or so minutes. And if you are a Patreon member, you get a fast pass. So you can jump the queue. And I have to look up some people's numbers so I know who I can go to first. 405, who are you and where are you calling from?
This is Aaron from Oklahoma City.
Hey,
Aaron. What's going
on? Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much.
Listening to you guys.
And now you're being listened to.
I know, it's very odd. A second ago I was coughing and thinking, oh my God, I hope they can't hear this. But then now you can if I cough. I have to go back, and the first time I heard the Luke's lightsaber, hashtag Ignite the Green, being in R2, I think we have to attribute that back to Mr. Haas Burkhart of Blue Harvest and Rogue One.
That was the first time
I ever heard that.
Yeah, I think he unleashed it for the first time on the call-in show. I'm not sure, but I remember he told it to me.
It was actually me, you, and Haas, and he unleashed it there. So we're almost here.
Let's just hold up here. Emily, do you see where this is going? This is like the humble brag section, I believe. It all ties in. It's like I just have to give credit to Haas when he told me on the air. I get where you're coming from, Aaron.
No, it was. It was. Hey, no, I'm totally, like, I'm talking to Steele Saunders. And Emily Lind, I'm waiting to talk to her because she is one of my favorite people. And
I was
2 feet behind Jason Ward as he was presenting his Mendo. And it was quite amazing to be in the room. I was very happy to be in the room. I haven't gone back and listened to it yet because I'm almost afraid to listen to it because I don't want to be even more sad because it's like, oh man, it was so great being there and now I'm back in real life. But I'm slowly catching up on all of Steele's massive amount of content. I can't keep up, so which is good. I'm a happy Patreon subscriber. No complaints.
Nice. What did you get up to for May the 4th? Do any Star Wars-ish things?
I worked all day long and did not do anything Star Wars related except for talk to Star Wars people on Twitter. And that is that's just about as good as it gets to me, talking with my people on Twitter.
So that's a special thing you did just for May the 4th.
Well, no, not really. I kind of do that every single day.
Pretty much all day, every day we're talking on Twitter.
That's true. That's true. I speak to Lindo every single day. So
nice. So what's on your mind, Aaron? What can we chat about, buddy?
Honestly, I have nothing now because I'm so... after all of that, I'm so, like, I don't know. I'm so lost.
He's just starstruck and everything.
Okay.
That's exactly. No, I'm very starstruck right now.
Well, exactly. I love Aaron's call-in strategy. It is good. I'll call in. I'll talk about the thing I'm glad you didn't hear before I got buzzed through. I will then tell this long winding story so I get props in the end, and then I'll close with, oh yeah, I've got nothing.
It was pretty good. That actually was pretty elegant, actually. that was good. I did actually think of a question. You guys were talking about itty bitties. Has there been a Gonk Droid itty bitty yet?
There has not been a Gonk Droid itty bitty.
There needs to be one because I want it.
This is a good topic, Emily. My two most wanted would be, I'd like a Jedi Master Luke, and I'd like that Krennic. I'd love a bit of Mendo.
Oh,
what do you think?
Yeah, well, of course.
Well, I mean, obviously Krennic is going to be my top choice. I really want one, especially if he has a cute little, like, cape. I would... like carry that around in my pocket with me.
Going back to that Rogue One scene when he's holding the doll, is it ever explained? Maybe the chat room can help me out with this one. Is it ever explained, or has there ever been a reason why there's a lot of fire in the background? What did they blow up? Or was that just Krennic's smoldering heat just lighting up things as he walked?
I honestly
know what I'm
think that
about?
Has to do with reshoots.
Oh,
I
yeah,
think
of
it
course.
Maybe
I
have to do with reshoots.
Obviously, it's because of reshoots, but I'm just wondering if there was, like in the novel or something, there was any sort of hint of...
I've never heard anything else about it.
I don't remember there being any mention of it in the book.
Alrighty, very interesting. What would be your, apart from those two, Emily, what's your main itty-bitty wish?
Well, first of all, they really need to make Finn.
True, yeah.
I mean, they haven't made him yet. I'm assuming that'll be one of the ones released next year, hopefully. I mean, they're doing Hux. It seems like Finn is for certain. But I would really like a Tarkin. Just because I'd be really amused to have a little, like, stuffed Peter Cushing doll.
Very cool. I just thought of one. I want, like, one of the mother Ewoks with a little wackling version. Oh. So there's like a itty, 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 bitty.
Oh, a mini itty bitty, yeah.
So kind of like a kangaroo pouch thing?
Hey, don't judge my culture, buddy. Do not judge my culture.
There's no judgment here. I proudly wear a Yub-Nub shirt. So I do not judge. I do not judge.
Well, how could you judge? Such a great T-shirt. Aaron, thanks for your call, my good man. And I look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, take it easy, guys. Lindo, it was wonderful talking to you. I'll talk to you later.
All right, good night.
Night.
Hey, you guys, just a heads up that we are firing up the Steel Wars YouTube channel. If you have not been to youtube.com/Steel Wars, you are missing out on the full interviews with the cast and crew of The Last Jedi from Star Wars Celebration. We're talking Kathleen Kennedy, Rian Johnson, Kelly Marie Tran, John Boyega, and the delightful Daisy Ridley. Plus, there are a grip of really fun, visually enhanced, classic Steel Wars moments that have been whipped up by Josh Chapman. So hit YouTube.com/Steel Wars, click subscribe, and treat those eyes.
Alrighty, that's Aaron from OK Cupid, apparently. Let's go to another person on the Patreon call-in line. I believe we've got Colleen. How you doing?
Hi, guys. Hi, Colleen. Hi, Lindo.
Colleen, where are you from exactly?
I'm from New York. I think I was listening to last week's episode, and you were trying to describe upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very large place, so I would have to drive 5 hours to touch Lindo physically.
All right, well, get started.
I've just
How
called
about
the
this?
Praise
How
Lindo.
About this? How about this? How about this? We keep the show going for 5 hours, and in that time, you make your way across New York to, and then we can have the touch at the end.
Just the sound.
All right,
of
let's
touching.
Go.
I'll get in my car right now, Emily.
Steel is writing some fan fiction of his own.
Oh, let's just chill out, people. Let's just chill out right now. Now, Colleen, this is the first time you've called in, yeah?
No, I called in like once before. It was a while ago, though.
Oh, okay. But you are always in the safe haven, and we had a great time hanging out with you at Star Wars Celebration, and you did do a few very interesting, racially provocative impressions of myself, which I didn't quite appreciate on one of the Patreon bonus shows, but I'll let that slide and ask you what is on your mind this evening in New York.
Oh, I'd like to, number one, apologize for all my drunken actions that caused some racially discriminative words to come out of my mouth. But mostly, I'm here to just praise Lindo, and I am an avid Caped Hearts lover. Even the title is embarrassing. I just have some questions regarding the love interest in the story. Is it okay for us to reveal who that is at this time?
Sure, yeah, that's fine.
So was it always Mon Mothma? Was she always the object of Mendo's lust in your mind, Emily?
Once I started, like, actually writing it, yes. When I originally was going to do the fic, like, back, like, I was going to be, it was going to be this, like, Jyn Krennic, like, set during that final confrontation scene. But when I was writing it, like, I went to, like, look up some stuff, like, some fan fiction just to, like, sort of get, I guess, inspiration.
Oh, yeah, research. And you got to do some research.
And the stuff, the Jyn Krennic stuff that's out there is really creepy. like really, really creepy.
Yeah.
And like, there's just some like, you know, consent stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is not fun. This is not going to be a fun thing. And so I couldn't find a way to make that pairing fun. It was just gross. And
it's also your friend's dad. Or your dad's friend.
Yeah, that's another, like, gross bit of it.
Yeah, but it is Star Wars. Kiss your sister.
So then it was just like, okay, there's not a lot of other female characters to choose from. And also, I like my mom, but she's... And it was just, ridiculous. And so I'm like, okay, stupid pairings is like, part of the proud tradition of terrible fan fiction. And when I first started writing it, it actually, like, I just said it was Mon Mothma right away. And then, like, I was about halfway through, and I'm like, oh, no, this would be great if it's, like, revealed halfway through. And then it, like, became writing around it, and so that's why he, like, calls her my love and, like, my beloved, like, 1,000 times. It's just me avoiding her name.
This is what I want. If there's any justice, at the next Star Wars celebration, you'll be watching the live stream, and Andy Grudet, she'll be like, Andy will be on the Star Wars show, and you'll be like, all right, we're going now to the erotic fan fiction panel with Emily Lind, and you can get insight like this. Come on, Star Wars. Come on, Reed Pop. Give the fans what they want.
I don't think I'm allowed to be around any Star Wars actors anymore.
Oh. Alrighty. What'd you get up to for May the 4th, Colleen?
I got hammered at a Star Wars event locally. And I touched a lot of stormtroopers.
And you touched stormtroopers? What's that about?
I have a weird, in the same way that I love Mendo, but Emily loves Mendo to another extreme. That's the kind of love I have for stormtroopers.
You've really narrowed down a select audience of people at any Star Wars convention there. If only I could find a stormtrooper.
In my everyday life, it's very challenging, but when it happens, it's real good.
Alrighty. And have you got any, what's on your mind Star Wars wise? Or you just were here for the fan fiction roundtable?
I was mostly here for the roundtable, and I did want to ask Emily if, I know the ending had pretty close ended. Is there any hope for a Caped Hearts 2?
Oh, God.
I mean, I'd have to be, like, pretty creative with the timeline. But maybe it could be some like extra scenes.
Some extra scenes.
I mean, because it's like said in the fic that they've met up like many times throughout the years, so we could just explore their romance a little bit more.
Oh yeah. Maybe they can do it in the Gungan world once, in a bubble or something.
Oh, what is happening? All right, Colleen, that is enough.
Okay.
Enough is enough. Thanks for calling in, and don't be a stranger.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Bye, Colleen.
Bye.
Wow. Quite the information we're getting here, Emily. Well done. Well done. We've got someone on Skype, so let's find out what they're about. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, how you doing? It's Rob from Perth. How you going?
Hey, Rob from Perth. What's going on, man?
Not much. I'm just chilling in the front of my yard. Just thought I'd call in. First time calling in, so it's my birthday today, so I thought it'd be a good day to do it.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday,
yeah,
Rob.
Thanks, guys.
Nice.
Cheers.
What did you get to for May the 4th, which is far more important than your birthday?
Nothing. I just worked.
What if working
Nah, I just worked.
On?
Nothing exciting, but yeah, got a Rogue One Blu-ray this morning, so that was nice from my wife.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice,
yeah,
nice. And
good.
What's on your mind Star Wars-wise?
I just want to ask you, Steel, as a Luke Skywalker man, how do you feel about, I know you briefly touched on the blog pods, but how do you feel about the new trailer, this whole idea of Luke being, I guess, like the reluctant hero? Does that bother you, or are you okay with that, or?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Other than me, like, just, it depends what happens. Do you know what I mean? Like,
It
is my thought that he's, you know, it's his sort of recycling of the hero's journey where he, you know, gets the call, says no, and then something happens that kicks him into action. And as long as that happens, like, I'm fine with it. I was a little bit disappointed with that Rebel Alliance in Rogue One. Do you know what I mean? Their flaky nature.
Yeah, me too.
I sort of saw what they were going with it, but I didn't think the decision to go fight was. It seemed like watered down. Like, it wasn't such a, like, I know all those guys came out and said we're with you, but just the Admiral Raddus and stuff, like, I don't know, I just don't think that plot point of just like, well, we disagree with those people, but we're going anyway, was made in quite the most heroic way or something like that. But anyway, yeah. Back to the point, I want to, you know, I think that if he says no, and then there's some sort of attack and Rey's in danger, and that's when he goes, all right, ignite the green, kick some ass, then what's your turn of phrase after the things we've been talking about today? It's getting a little bit sultry. But yeah, so as long as he comes through, like someone...
Yeah.
Like I'd hate for some, you know, cop-out thing where he did go and then he just got, you know, maimed or he's... lightsaber got cut in half before he had a chance to turn it on. Like, just give me it. Give me what I wanted.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping it's not.
How about you?
At the end of the movie. Yeah, I'm like, it's a good point with the Rogue One. You know, it's almost like a rebel, like rebellion within the rebellion. And I like my good guy's good and my bad guy's bad. Like, I think, like, the prequels were great, you know, how they sort of brought a bit of, you know, that, you know, who's good, who's bad and that. But I don't know, like, for me, Star Wars is sort of the story of good and evil. And so I hope that Luke just turns around really quickly early in the movie, because I think I'd be pretty disappointed if it was, you know, a whole movie of him sort of having to be convinced by Rey and then the last minute things sort of change, which I sort of feel like may happen. But, yeah, I don't know, we'll see.
Mm. Yeah, I just want to just give it to me, you know? Give it to me. Well, crazy. Rob, you have a great birthday in your front yard.
Thank you. Thank you.
And, don't be a stranger. Keep pulling in, man.
Cool. Thanks, Still, and thanks, Lindo.
Thanks, man.
Where are you with Luke Skywalker, Emily?
I would kind of like him to be a big jerk for most of this movie. I mean, I want him to, of course, in the end, to, like, be Luke Skywalker and be a hero. And I want to have that turn be big and important. Like, I don't want it to just be, like, a rushed thing. But I want to see him, like, really conflicted in the beginning. I think Mark Hamill is going to kill that stuff. And when Daisy was talking about how, you know, sometimes when you meet your heroes, they aren't what you expect them to be. Like, I think that's preparation for some really interesting stuff with Luke. Like, I don't think he's going to be, you know, a bad guy. but I think he's going to be done with it. Like, just done with being a hero and done with the Force. I mean, obviously, like, the Jedi must end line, but I think we're really going to see him really fighting with that, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, as long as he turns around in the end. As long as I get my little lightsaber.
Hey guys, the Steel Wars merch store has been updated with our brand new sticker packs, where you can get two of the Your Snoke Theory Sucks Classic, the Luke Skywalker Tribute Have You Seen Him Classic, plus the new school Endor Vibed Yub Nub, and the very popular I'm With Snoke stickers. 8 stickers for $6 Australian, which is about $4.50 American. Plus, you get 10 premium show downloads automatically. Some of our most favorite classic episodes in there. Plus, you get to support the podcast while happily sticking your adhesives. It's all up at steelwars.com.
I'm going to go to someone who I think is actually calling on their landline from, or their mobile from Australia. So I'm just going to find out what this is about. Australian number.
Hello?
040. Yes, hello. That is you.
Hello. Yeah, hello. I am Jacob from Sydney. Hello.
Jacob, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I haven't been on for a while. Just been trying to remember and then missed it. So now I'm finally on. I can talk about what I want to talk about, yeah.
Nice. Are you calling from a mobile? Is this going to get your father, Michael, crazy bills?
Yeah.
Nah, it's all good.
It's all good.
You guys, if you are international, this just goes to everyone, you can Skype in, which is far cheaper. It's only a couple of cents. You just got to add a +1 and set it to that you're calling United States on your Skype. But Jacob, it is great to have you back on the show, my friend. And what's on your mind?
Well, since the trailer for The Last Jedi has been released and everything, it might be just me because I've never seen like much of the other Star Wars in cinemas before, but really more anticipated trailer, because, you know, Force Awakens was only like sort of a preparation movie, and this is going to be like everything's happening in this movie. My question is sort of a theory based thing. In the Force Awakens Force Vision, you can see Rey looking at Luke Skywalker with his hand on R2-D2 in front of like a fire area. In the Last Jedi trailer, we can see Luke, or supposedly Luke, bowing down to his knees next to R2 in front of a fire or village place that's been raided. So maybe he's gone out to save somebody there, and then he failed and he's too late, and he's sort of feeling that, like, sad feeling again that he couldn't save people or he did something wrong again.
Yeah, I think, like, well done on picking up those two scenes, but I think we might get another flashback to that same scene, and that's Luke watching the Jedi Temple burn down. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, that could be, that's probably something that's going to happen, because as far as we know, Luke has been isolated on the island, and he's probably not going to leave until he's been thrown back into the action again desperately. But yeah, in The Force Awakens, we might, instead of a flash back, we could have been seeing a flash forward of something that's going to appear in The Last Jedi. But yeah, probably like another flashback in The Last Jedi about what's going to happen there.
Yeah, that would be, because there was a flash forward in that Force back, and that was Kylo Ren in the snow. Am I right on that one, Emily?
I think so. Somebody in the chat room will tell us if we're wrong.
Yeah, they have a habit of doing that.
Yeah.
All right. King Tom says yes, that is correct. So the force back did go forward and back in time. What would you rather it be, Jacob? Would you rather it be a flashback or a flash forward, that scene?
Seeing it tied together in either one of those would be good. And, look, yeah. And I've also seen this thing about that force vision, because Rey was touching the lightsaber, and it should be in the places that were the lightsaber was at in at those times. So it's the lightsaber theory. I've watched it, and on the theory, it showed the lightsaber flashback would be where the lightsaber was at the time. So in the flash forward or flashback when Luke's bowing down or Kylo Ren's in the snow, the lightsaber was there. Like, yeah, the lightsaber was there when Rey and Finn fought Kylo Ren in the snow. So something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I've heard that theory. I'm not sure how, like, just say we said that that is Luke after Kylo Ren attacked the Jedi Temple, or he's, you know, wherever he's training. I'm not sure how Darth Vader's lightsaber or Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber would go from Bespin to there and then to Maz Kanata's. It seems like it would be hard to work out how that could trail. So I have heard people try to decode the Force back in that was where the lightsaber was at all those times, but I'm not convinced of that one. I think it's more just things to see. Like, Luke Skywalker had the Force vision in the cave of Darth Vader, and it wasn't really dependent on the, like, having anything. It was more just, I think it might be just the force around that lightsaber sort of thing that it's telling them things. What do you think about that one, Emily?
I really like the idea that it's really linked to the lightsaber. Like, what you said makes sense. I don't know if it actually works in terms of how the lightsaber would travel or the timeline there. But I kind of hope there's a way for it to work, because I sort of like the idea of it being this, I guess, like, psychic object in a way.
Yeah, I think it's a real cool, like, it would be a cool way to tie it up. But I sort of the thought of that he lost the lightsaber, and then he got it back, and then he lost it again. It just sounds like an episode of Rebels. So I'm not sure how that works, but
yeah.
There's one thing, Jacob, I want your opinion about this. I think it would be great, and I sort of think that they have a bit of an obligation, but by the end of episode 9, that whole force back thing's kind of explained, or we get all the story around all those scenes. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, in episode 8, leading back to the force, force back going into the future, like, in episode 8, all those scenes could be explained there, and that could tie it up. I mean, it could be, but yeah, it would be good to have it explained, because then it's just another thing explained, and then we might have to go into a whole other series of TV shows and books to be released about it and cause confusion and everything.
God, are you Jacob from New South Wales or Bob Iger? It sounds like you're plotting money-making schemes for the Disney Corporation here. The other scene, and someone just brought this up in the chat, is that it also, the Force back showed a young Rey on Jakku. So that might, and unless someone had the lightsaber when they were flying off, or so I don't really think, but I wanted to explain.
I'm not sure how. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure exactly which book, but there was a book on the Star Wars Force Awakens art and stuff, and I'm pretty sure there was Rey's family ship or something, which looked very similar to that ship, but like the front of that ship, their family ship flying off. And since Rey is force sensitive, it might have something to do with she's like chosen by the force to be force sensitive, or she might have some sort of force sensitive parents that left her there, and like the force is showing her that like her family is sort of a force wielding family or something like that.
Yeah, I think that could be a good plan. This is what I used to do when I was little, Jacob. I so wanted the force. And I would just think that if I could just move a spoon, do you know what I mean? I was so positive that if I concentrated long enough that I could just make the spoon move just a little bit. Like if Luke Skywalker can make a lightsaber go into his hand. Yeah, me too. And all you get's a headache. That's all you get. The spoon's still there. And my head hurts.
I've tried many times. Maybe not a spoon, but many things.
Oh, what are you trying? What are you working on? What are you working on?
Well, right now, not too much. But recently, I've been trying to focus on force lightning rather than moving things.
Ah, you're a Sith!
Yeah, I'm more of a Sith kind of guy. Mark Hamill, you know how Mark Hamill's more into voiceover and bad guys. I'm sort of a bad guy person myself.
God, you're trying to whip out some electric shrapnel. That's horrible. You can do that. You know, you can if you've got the right shoes on carpet, you can generate some static electricity and electrocute people. You get your dad to show you how to do that. Well, it's awesome.
I've been trying to focus on every time I try and do that, it never works. But then I always end up doing it by accident, and it's completely in the wrong moment. I'm trying to focus on getting it when I want.
You need to go to Dagobah, buddy. You need to go to Dagobah and get schooled. And what did you think of the Last Jedi trailer?
Oh, yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it was only the first trailer, so you're not really expecting it to have everything that we want so far. But yeah, it's all right. It's good in terms of giving us what we want. It's sort of mirroring the last trailer as well, with like in a plain area with plain no people, and then one of our main characters pops up really out of breath and sweaty and tired, and they're the same for the both trailers.
Yeah,
the Fourth Week
cool,
and then Last Jedi. Yeah.
And what are you looking forward to most in the film? Out of like, you got all those glimpses, what are you just like, I want to see more of that?
Well, sort of two things. The first thing, when they're going around the corner on the island, when Rey's training, she's flinging her lightsaber around, practicing her skills, and then there's that boulder thing. And I don't know, it could be a force vision of Yoda or someone on top of that thing watching her, training her, but then I don't know how that would really work, like just watching her skills, like, look, I can do this, teach me more, sort of thing. And then the other thing is I really want to see more of Luke, a lot more of Luke, especially that last scene in the trailer where the Jedi should end. That was the really big moment in the trailer.
I reckon. What do you think it means? What do you think is behind him saying that the Jedi should end?
Well, I've watched a lot of things on it, and most people think it's more leading to more the Jedi Order should end, and then there should be the concept of the Grey Jedi, or there's no Jedi, there's just like Force wielders that protect. Sort of like
how you can
rebels see, yeah.
Yeah, like how you can help, like there's policemen, but then there's people that aren't policemen that still help people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the in that scene where he says that, there's also Rey's staff. So, and I've also seen this thing. I've rewatched a scene from The Force Awakens where Rey's cleaning Earth, you know, her machines to sell into Unkar Plot and Jakku. And I looked at those gloves for a second, and then I realized that those gloves were the same on the, you know, when putting over the hand on the books. I mean, it looked the same. I'm not, that's a minor detail, but it just looked the same. So he could be talking to Rey or anyone because her staff's there.
What do you think's going to be in those books, mate?
Well, since it had the Jedi symbol on it, it could be journals and teachings of old Jedi masters, not so much a holocron, but recorded scriptures on paper.
Do you think that in one of those books that Yoda's got his recipe for that broth he makes on Dagobah?
I don't know. Maybe one of them might be a recipe book. I did see a small book on that shelf that could be leading towards Yoda's recipe book.
Nice. I'd love that. I'd love to whip up some Dagobah broth.
And my dad's also got a theory. I've got him here now, and I might be handing it over to him. And he's got his own theory on everything, so I'll pass it on to him now, and I'll see you later.
All right, see you, Jacob. You call in any time, mate.
Good night, Jacob.
All right, see you.
He's still got to listen in.
Hey, Linda, Michael, how are you? How are you going to live up to that sort of high octane Star Wars chat, mate? You going to bring down the level or what?
No, and hi everyone, it's Michael Oud of Safe Haven fame. I just had one small little, I guess, theory that I just wanted to put to you guys. Based on what we saw in the Last Jedi trailer, that sort of big line that Luke delivers about it's time for the Jedi to end, I just picked up on one little thing about that in sort of with the cast interviews and stuff, that both John Boyega and Daisy Ridley expressed their surprise at hearing that line like they hadn't heard it before. So theoretically, neither of them were present when that line was delivered in filming. So I sort of developed a theory that maybe they're not, neither of them, well, Rey's not involved in that scene, and then who is he talking to? And I thought perhaps he's talking to a Force ghost, possibly Yoda or someone like that. And I just wondered what you guys thought about that sort of idea that Luke is talking to a Force ghost, just sort of expressing his feelings on the state of, you know, the play and whatnot at that time.
Michael, you've somehow managed to keep the level up. I love it when people call in to this show with a theory that gives me goosebumps. And the reveal that Luke Skywalker was just talking to old shiny, glistenery Yoda or someone. Wow, that is amazing. Now, can I just clarify, did Daisy say that she hadn't heard the line? I know John Boyega definitely didn't.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I'd have to go back and double check, but I'm fairly certain. I definitely know. Obviously, John Boyega made a big deal about the fact that he was blown away when he heard it, and he hadn't heard it before. But I'm fairly certain that he sort of said something to the effect of, "Oh, Daisy and I both looked at each other like, what? Where the hell did that come from?" You know, something like that. So that's why I thought they both weren't aware of it. I'm pretty sure I heard that they said that they both weren't aware, but I'm sure everybody else in the chat room or whatever can confirm or deny that that's what I heard.
Yeah, the chat room, they're off doing their own, I don't know what they're talking about at the moment. They're talking about how they all wish they were in a line together or something. But then no one's helping.
The chat room.
Okay, well, Jacob's getting far more love in there than you are, buddy.
Everybody loves Jacob.
Yeah.
That's okay.
No, but I now really want him to be talking to Force Ghost Yoda. That never even occurred to me, but that's now 100% what I want. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be really disappointed, and I'm blaming you for my disappointment.
Well, it's like when, and I love this. It's so fun. Like in the Rogue One trailer, when who was walking up to the Bacta tank, or if it was a Bacta tank, or what it was.
Yeah.
And you know, we all, you know, everyone came up with their guesses and theories, and then it's just like random old man. So hopefully the reveal.
Yeah, I think
of
it's a classic bit of misdirection.
Yeah, if it is a Force ghost, let's just say it's Force ghost Yoda, I tip my hat to Rian Johnson and whoever put together the trailer that they gave us half a conversation with Yoda and we didn't know. Like, that's cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, find out later on. Like, oh, he was talking to Yoda. That's incredible. So, excellent. Excellent work, Michael.
Yeah, I just got the vibe that it came to me because I just got the vibe that he didn't appear to necessarily be talking to, like, it didn't fit with the vibe of the rest of the, I guess, the story arc that we kind of see happening in the trailer. I kind of feel like it might be a setting of the scene for the beginning of the movie, the vibe, but it doesn't really necessarily reflect Luke's trajectory or story arc through the movie. He maybe starts at that point, and maybe that's a starting point. And that's why I didn't feel that conversation was necessarily with somebody else standing there, and maybe it's in that little cave where the books are and all that sort of thing, and that's where he sees the Force vision or the Force ghost appear, whoever it may be. I mean, my top guess would be Yoda, but maybe it could be somebody else, but I would say it's probably Yoda if it is a Force ghost appearing. But that's where I got the kind of vibe from that line. I think it's just a big misdirect, and it was put in there to make people, you know, be shocked. But like John Boyega said, you know, you really got to think about it, and that's what it's making everybody do. Think about what that actually means. It doesn't necessarily mean exactly what it says.
Yeah, he also said to overthink it. I don't know if we should be taking John Boyega's advice right about now. I don't know if he's got his eyes on the prize or not. But I don't think the books are in that cave. I think the books are going to be elsewhere. But that's just...
Oh, okay.
That's just me. We will see. Thanks so much for calling in, and thanks for having Jacob call in as well. It's great to hear from you both. And... I'm not sure what sort of phone plan you've got, but try the Skype way to call in. It is...
We had technical difficulties with the Skype, but I have called in on the mobile before, and it wasn't that expensive, so I felt safe to do it again.
Okay, cool. Great. Yeah, thanks so much, Michael, and hope you and Jacob have a great Saturday afternoon up in Sydney.
Cool. No worries, guys. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure, indeed.
Bye.
All right, Jacob and Michael. What a Star Wars family that is, Emily. They're doing some deep thought.
Man, I always love hearing from Jacob. He always has really interesting things to say. Everyone could take a lesson from him saying, it's just the first trailer, they're not going to give us everything we want, and that's okay.
I think Jacob's the most irrational man on the internet. Love that guy. All right, so what we're going to do is we will wrap up the iTunes version or the free feed, and then we'll go into the bonus section. So to let the people of the internet know, Emily, where can they follow yourself on the World Wide Web?
Well, I'm always around the Safe Haven that people should definitely join on Facebook if they're not part of. And you can find me on Twitter at EFLind. That's ESLIND.
Very cool. And if those people don't know, maybe you're a new listener, we have a Facebook group called the Steel Wars Listener Safe Haven, where we rationally talk about Star Wars in a... we all try to be like Jacob and share our ideas and not lose it over it, which is a nice little window to have on the internet. And there's a link to that on the front page of steelwars.com. You've got to answer a couple of questions that are very easy and let us know that you're not a these weird random accounts, Emily, that try to join. I don't know what they're. Yeah, they're like sort of phishing accounts, or, you know, I don't know if they're, what they're trying to do. They're going to post Ray-Ban advertisements once they get in or something. But lots of accounts that were just started that day try to join. So we have a few very basic questions to answer. If you want to hear the rest of the show, we've still got some more callers to get through, some more discussion to have, and you'd also like to hear our hours and hours of weekly bonus content, please consider becoming a Content Club member at patreon.com/steelwars. And for just $3 a month, you can get, there is over 250 audio shows waiting for you, and more each week. We've got a big week of Q&As coming up. We got so many questions post-celebration, so that'll be super fun. Thanks to everyone in the chat room. Stick around into the bonus area. Thank you, Emily. I will talk to you in the bonus area.
Well, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And everyone else, may that force be with you. All right, we have got 619. Who are you and where are you calling from?
It's me, I'm Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Brittany, hey. From San Diego.
Yay, you remember me.
Of course I remember you, Brittany. What's going on? What's on your mind today?
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that super fun live call-in show with Emily Lind. And hey, I'll let you in on a bit of a secret that's not much of a secret, but if you were a Patreon Content Club member, you'd be listening to another 40 minutes of sweet, sweet call-in action. Brittany gives us a fascinating look into the backstage casino life. I recall the time I watched someone win $1 million. King Tom calls in to talk Mendo on Rebels. Admiral Raddus himself, Steve Stanton, joins us in the live chat. We talk about the part of Star Wars that I don't enjoy. The part of Star Wars we can all agree is awesome. Emily has a sappy moment. And then Dom calls in from San Francisco and we talk a bit of SF Star Wars sightseeing. Plus, so much more. You know there's more. There has to be more. It's 40 minutes more. But along with that, you get so much bonus content. This week we put up the new Gonkin Droids Trash Compactor. You get the entire MSW live podcast with erotic fan fiction that was well sizzled throughout this episode, as well as the After Dark blog pods from Star Wars Celebration, and over 250 audio shows and growing each week, you guys, and you support the show. So you get a warm feeling inside just for $3 each month. And there's higher tiers where you get free stickers and t-shirts and all that good stuff. But $3 is the base rate. And if a small amount of people did do the $3, we'd be looking pretty sweet to continue making these shows. However, if becoming a Content Club member is not something you can do right now, you can help us out by retweeting the episode announcement, sharing it on Facebook or Instagram, or writing one of those sweet five-star reviews on iTunes, which I don't think is too much to ask. Hours and hours of audio content each week. And all I'm saying is, hey, spend a minute vouching for us on iTunes so other Star Wars fans know we're doing good stuff. It will bump us up the rankings and make me feel like I'm leading a half-decent life. So thank you guys very much. We've got a big live episode as the episode of the normal Steel Wars show this week, which will be up very soon after this, with Nick Mason from the Weekly Planet, Jonathan Schuster, and George Lucas is back. This is our final live podcast we did at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and it is a ripper. So stay tuned for that. Thank you guys so much, and may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.